Good evening, young disciples.
Good evening, sir.
You guys brought your Bibles tonight?
Yes, sir.
Let me see your Bibles. Awesome. How many of your Bibles have a concordance in them? Bunch of you. Awesome, because we're going to hopefully this week not just tell you which text to look up, but we're going to try to find times when we're going to give you a topic to look up. And then you'll have to use your concordance to find texts that relate. And I've got one text tonight that's going to do that, but, or a thought or concept tonight that you're going to have to find somewhere in the Bible. It's actually reiterated by Jesus Christ. It's restated by Jesus several times. But I don't know if we're going to get to that point because I've got kind of a big study. You guys up to doing a big study?
Yes, sir.
You are?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes, sir.
Like how about two big chapters?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Okay,
well, we're going to start in Matthew chapter 25. I don't know if you've ever read Matthew 25 before, but I think most of you have. In fact, in line call this morning, I heard somebody had read that in their private, in their quiet time, in their own personal devotions. And we're going to start looking at what is the very first parable that Jesus talks about. Yes?
The ten virgins.
The ten virgins. Now, anybody read about the ten virgins before?
Yes, sir.
Has anybody not read about the ten virgins before? Everybody knows about the ten virgins. Okay. So, remember, in deep Bible study this morning, there were three things that you do when studying the Bible. Observe, inspect, and
apply.
So, we're going to observe this thing here. Now, remember, there were 10 virgins, and 5 of them made it into where?
The wedding,
which to apply that would be, or interpret it, I guess, would be the correct way. Interpret it would be the wedding would be
heaven.
Yes, and then 5 were not allowed into heaven, so they ended up the other place, the place we don't want to go. Does anybody want to go to that other place? I don't want to go there. Okay, but look at the ten virgins. They were called virgins. Now, what does it mean biblically to be called a virgin? A woman that wasn't married, wasn't defiled, a church, or, yes?
Pure.
A what? Pure. Pure. Yes, pure. What would be a today term that you would kind of use? Somebody that was a believer. Somebody that believed.
A widow?
So somebody that was, okay, they were looking for, what did the bridegroom coming, what did that represent? Interpret that. Jesus' second coming. So they were believers, they were pure, they had the looking for Jesus' second coming. Now what was the difference between the people, the virgins that made it in, and those that were kept out, didn't make it in? What was the difference? The one was wise, or 5 were wise, 5 were foolish, and as you said, yes. They were ready, and they had extra
oil.
They had extra oil. They had extra oil, and that made how much difference? A little bit of difference? All the difference in the world. So, if we apply that, I want to make sure that I have enough oil to make it until Jesus comes. Amen? So, the question for you is, how do you get that oil? How do you get that oil? Well, question before that may be, what is the oil? Okay, yes? Holy Spirit, how many agree with that?
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit, what? Yes? Okay, does everybody agree?
Yes.
Holy Spirit. So how do you get the extra Holy Spirit? Because it means the difference between life and death. It's a very important question. Now, a lot of people talk about how to get more of the Holy Spirit, but you know what I'm really interested in? What Jesus says about how to get more of the Holy Spirit. Because what he says, I think I can trust. Amen? Because he kind of like created everything, including gravity. which you are sitting on by. Okay. So in order to understand this parable, we are going to try to gain a perspective. Okay. A couple of days ago, I was down there at the lakeside for the baptism, and I was looking down the lake, and I saw this, how it's kind of actually a river, and it splits. And that piece of land that was making the river split, I don't know if that's an island or if it's just like the water goes in and it's a bay. So, but from where I was sitting, I couldn't see if that was an island because the water just kind of split and then it went behind a hill. So in order, and then I look up river here, and I can look as far as I can see, and I don't know what's the other end of this river. Does it just keep going all the way? As far as I can tell, it goes that way, and it goes that way. So maybe it goes all the way through the southern part of the earth and comes all the way around and then comes in up here.
Yes, sir.
How would I find out where that river goes? I can follow it, or I can go higher. Yeah, Google Earth. Yeah, I can Google Earth this thing. I can do a virtual satellite, and I can look and see where that lake goes, and I can understand it. Then I can understand the context of that view right there. I can look down there and say, I don't see that whole island, but I saw it from Google Earth, so I know what it is. And that's what we're going to do with this parable, because this is an important question. So we're going to kind of like do a satellite image or view of chapter 25. But what's interesting, when we do that, and I'll kind of give you a little heads up, when you look at the end of chapter 24, look at the last verse there, verse 51, and shall cut him asunder and appoint him unto the... And then he goes right into the 10 virgins. There's no break there. Did you notice that? There's no break. They don't like stand up and walk inside Jerusalem or go someplace else or sit down or do it. It's just one... It just keeps going. And you look back through chapter 24, and it just keeps going. Right to Jesus starts actually talking, like right at the beginning of chapter 24. And he starts talking in response to a question that the disciples said. The disciples were kind of proud of their temples. Look at verse 1. His disciples. Somebody read verse 1 for me. Yes, go ahead. Oh, yes. No, verse 25, chapter 24, verse 1. Okay, go ahead. And then Jesus says, I'm not impressed. In fact, all these stones that you see, and I've been to Israel, and the stones are like the size of this bench, long and like about this tall, and they're massive stones. And he says, not one will be left upon another. And then the disciples come to him and say, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming? And then what is chapter 24 of Matthew known for? What is contained in it? Signs of the end, coming of the Son of Man. What is it known for? Stars falling, darkness, persecution, wars, rumors of wars, moon turning, all this stuff. Big prophecies. And it says wars, you know, nations shall war against other nations, but the end is not yet. And what is the key verse? What is the key verse that tells us what will be the sign of his coming? Or what has to happen before Jesus comes? Yes, verse which? 14. Matthew 24, 14. And this gospel, let's all say it together. Okay, get your Bibles out. Let's look at that text. Here we go. And the gospel of this kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then the end shall come. Okay. And then it goes on and starts talking about all the other things. But, and so you're looking at this, Jesus is talking about sweeping end time prophecies. And then all of a sudden, he starts talking about the 10 virgins. I was like, that's the same sermon. Why would he start talking about 10 virgins in the middle of talking about end time prophecies? And then what comes after the virgins?
The parable of the talents.
The parable of the talents. Why is he talking about talents? And then what's the third one in chapter 25? The sheep and the goats. So Jesus talked about end time prophecy, and all of a sudden it's almost like he forgot what he was talking about, totally switches gears and starts talking about these different prophecies. The virgins, the talents, and the sheep and the goats. So why? Why would he do that? Well, I think we'll find our clue in verse 44 of chapter 24. Somebody over here could read verse 44 of chapter 24. Yes, ma'am. Okay, so Jesus is talking about nations and wars, and then he turns to you and says, be ye therefore also ready. So Jesus is shifting gears in verse 44. He's shifting gears from big world events to what do I do about, what? How do I prepare, how do I weather, how do I survive these big world events? What do I do? And then let's read the next verse. This is amazing. Verse 45 and 46. Okay? Who then, let's all say this together, okay? All together. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom when his Lord cometh shall find so doing. Okay, what in the world does that mean? These two verses basically have all of chapter 25 packed into them. Okay? So let's go through this. Let's observe. Who then is a faithful... Who's the servant? Us. Yes. You and I. We are his servant. Who is the Lord?
God.
Yeah, Jesus. And then who is his household? No. Because we are the church. So who is God's household? What is God's household? No. Well, obviously that's part of it, but the household that he left. Yes, the earth. All the people on the face of the earth are God's children. They're his household. Because every child that has ever been born is born as a child of God. Now, they may not know God, they may not accept God, but I didn't create them. Did you create them? How many here have ever created a human being? So then who do they belong to? The Creator, right? So they're part of his household. He claims them as his own children. They are his sons and daughters. Every person on the face of the earth belongs. Where do we find a text for that? Anybody know where we can find a text to show that God claims every person as his own? That may be an assignment for tomorrow. Okay, use your a concordance and see if you can find a text that God, where God claims all souls as his. And I kind of gave it away. Yes. Yeah, he came to save the world.
I don't know what the text, but it says, by the word of the Lord, which has been saved, God comes to them by the message of mouth. He gathered the waters of the sea together as a heap. And then at the end it says, like, it's part of his thing. He's like going to Mars. I forget the text.
Okay. Yes? Somebody? Okay. All right, so you can keep looking at that for that text. It's a very clear text. Okay, so let's look at this. Who then is a faithful and wise servant? We are the servant whom his Lord, God, has put us as rulers over his household to give them, what's the purpose of putting us here? To give them, the end of verse 45. What is that? What is that we're supposed to give?
Meat.
What is meat? Bread, food. The word? The word is definitely truly spiritual food. To give them their food in due season. So, present truth. To give them present truth in due season. Blessed is that servant that when his Lord shall come, shall find him so doing. So what is this saying here? This is saying that we should be giving the gospel to the world until Jesus comes. And this is like individuals. Each one of us should be found doing this. Because Jesus is saying, be ye therefore ready, and this is how to be ready. You think Jesus would be so mean as to say, be ready, but not tell us how to be ready? No, he's not like that. He says, I want you to be ready, and here's how to be ready. This isn't how to get ready. You don't know when Jesus is coming. Stay in a state of readiness. Let's go. Then Jesus changes subject and jumps into the 10 virgins. Okay? And are invited into heaven, and those that aren't, okay? So how do we get more oil? Does anybody here like to know how to get more oil? Yeah, I'm all over that. I really want more oil. So, how to get more oil? Well, he explains that in the next parable, which begins in verse 14, which is the parable of the... No, that's the first parable. Yes, the talents. So what happens in the parable of the talents? You got three servants. Again, it's the servants there, and the Lord goes away, and he gives them something to start with. They start out with something in their hand. And then the first servant, which has five talents, takes a risk. He puts them out on the market. And what happens to those? Doubles his investment. That's a good thing. That's a good investment. The second servant is given two. And what does he do with those? He invests, he takes that risk, and it doubles. The third servant, he gets his one, and he's very wise. He's very smart. And he's very cautious. And he holds on to that one talent because you know how much a talent was back then? It's like a lifetime income. So how much money can you make in a lifetime? And that's like a talent. Okay? So it's a lot of money. So he wants to be sure and cautious with that. So he puts it in the bank of that day, which was the earth. He buries it. He holds on to it. So when the Lord comes, he has not lost that talent. He has protected it and kept it safe. And what does the master say to that servant? What does the master say? Thou wicked and slothful servant. Wow. And what is the last verse? This verse 30. Somebody read verse 30. Somebody please. Yes. And cast the unprofitable servant. That servant was safe. He played it safe. He should have been rewarded that he was able to keep his master's goods safe. The other ones, they took a risk. They could have lost everything. And then what would happen? And so now let's apply that to us. We have been given, as the 10 virgins, as believers, we have been given what gifts? The Holy Spirit. Yes, we've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Bible. Sarah, oh, hello. You know, that happened to me before. I was preaching in the Philippines, and we had like a... what's that? Hi, Grouse. He's come to hear the word. I was serious. I was preaching in the Philippines. There's about 800 people out there, and this little puppy dog... And I was unsure about my message because it was a hard message. And that little puppy dog came and sat right down in front of me and just looked up at me like, he's like, you're doing good. It's like, well, at least I got one friend. And then he ran away after a while. He stayed there for like 5 minutes. Oh, I got time. Okay, sorry. All right. We got to get through this. So we have been given the Holy Spirit. And we have been, and in that Holy Spirit resides all the wealth and the riches of heaven. We've been given a knowledge of Jesus Christ and the Bible, the riches that I mean, you cannot imagine and cannot compare with the value of this gift that we've been given. And the question then is, so good. The question then is, what do we do with it? What do we do with it? So in the talents, the thing to do was to invest and it grows. Okay? That's the principle, to invest what you've been given so that it will grow. And now the question is, what do we invest it in? I mean, because does that mean that we need to go invest in the stock market? Does that mean we need to invest in real estate? Okay, yes, absolutely. But where does that come in the Bible? Well, look at the next parable. Okay, what is the next parable? The sheep and the goats. And the goats were on the left hand and the sheep were on the right hand. And so these are the gathering of the people together. And there was one thing, just one thing, that separated the sheep from the goats. What is that one thing? Huh? No, not a color. Look in your Bibles and see what it says. Sorry? Huh? Well, God separated them, so he put them on each side for a purpose. Yes? All that stuff. Yeah. And so, okay, I don't know if you heard that, but she says, the one clothed the naked, fed the poor, and all that stuff. Visited the sick and those that are in prison. Took care of the needy. And then he summarized all that in just one beautiful statement that you've heard so often. Inasmuch, let's all say it together, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto some guy in North Dakota. No, she's looking at me. What's your problem? You've done it unto me. Who is the me that is talking? Jesus. So inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren. So those that do that, not just talk about it, not just believe a certain way, not just go to church on the right day, but those that do that work are investing. What you're doing is you're investing what you've been given into others. I give, I learn, I gain, I invest it into somebody else. I have been given value. And I give that value to you, the least of these, my brethren. So as we do that, then our experience shrinks. Wow, that was slow. As we give what we have been given away, as we invest what we have been given into others, our experience and our understanding in the Holy Spirit grows. And then as it grows, we end up with more oil. And as we end up with more oil, this is a promise that is promised in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Okay, Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. You know this by heart. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to all people. And lo, I'm with you always. Who is that? Who is that that's going to be with us always? God, through the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit, which is the oil. So how would you like to grow your experience? Find the least person in the entire world. Minister to that person. Because how you minister to the least will be how you treat, or how you treat the least person in the world will be how you end up treating your God. So So where is the least person in the world? Where?
India.
Maybe.
Everywhere.
There's definitely people there. Uh-huh. Yep.
Africa.
There's more to it than that.
Cuba.
And many people say, well, I'll just wait until the Lord leads me. Most likely, we will never go.
Thailand.
We have a hand here.
Everybody in the whole entire world.
Everybody in the whole entire world? You could say that, but the least that you don't even... Yes. The ones around you, but the ones around you usually already know about God, and they're trying to do the same thing. Yes,
Africa?
Africa? Yeah, there's some there. The slums in India? Absolutely. It's amazing to me, because I've been in slums in like Bangkok, and I would expect to see lots of Christians, and especially Seventh-day Adventists, just swarming those slums. I don't see anybody there. Where are they? Yes.
North Korea,
absolutely. Absolutely. What did Jesus do? Yes. Some parts of Haiti, many parts of Haiti. Yes. North America, there's a few, if you can find them, absolutely. Yes. China, there's a bunch there. Yes. East Timor, absolutely. Yeah. So there are 1,568 people groups today that are unengaged. You know what unengaged means? Huh? Well, they're just not unreached. They're unengaged, which means there's no Christian, there's no missionary, there's no Bible, there's nothing. And since we had our campfire yesterday, 66,000 people died without ever hearing the name of Jesus Christ. If we want to follow Christ, what did Christ do? He went to those that were going to die. If we're going to follow Christ, and every single one of you guys saying that tonight, if you really mean it, you will not just wait for God to lead you, you will lead and ask God to bless you. And as you take that step, as you take that initiative, God will bless. God has shown the way already by doing what he's asking us to do. He came, he was born in a very uncomfortable place, lived a very difficult life. For what purpose? To minister unto the least of his brethren, to minister unto you and I. So this is the call God has for us today. Let's take it seriously. Let us pray together now. Please kneel. Father God, we come before you tonight, and our hearts are overawed. And our hearts are amazed at your condescension, your willingness to come down to this earth, to be a human being, to be a man like us, to take on our sins, take on our struggles, take on all of our cares and perplexities. And yet you did it to reach us. Father, may we be like you, and may we follow you and do what you have done. Father, place it within our hearts a willingness to take the initiative and not to wait until somebody calls, but to make a call, to take the Bible as our call, to take Jesus' example as our call, as we follow you to where you are, which is where the greatest need is. Father, we lift up all those people that are going to die between now and tomorrow night. 66,000 people are going to die without ever hearing your name. That's not right, Father. We won't stand for it. We want to do something, Father. So today, Father, help us to start by practicing, by doing acts of loving service to each other. We're here, Father. We're not in India. We're not in Africa. We're right here. So open our hearts, Father, and place within us your love for each other, and help us to find some little thing that we can do, and in that very act of service, draw closer to you. We thank you for your love and for your kindness. In Jesus' name, amen.